Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. When John the Baptist heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" And Jesus answered them, the disciples of John, and he said, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." And as they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' For truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So in last week's gospel reading, we met this guy named John the Baptist. Last week, we heard John the Baptist crying out on the margins, wanting us to embrace God's way of just living. And in that reading from last week, we heard that John was kind of a first century equivalent to a hype man or a hype gal. Does anybody know what those people are? Hype man, hype gal? Anyone? Okay, so like three people. So if you don't know what it is, basically it's the one who is responsible for increasing an audience's excitement. You know, has anybody like been to a live taping of something? It's the person who comes out ahead of time and is like, "All right, everybody, look at, here comes Drew Carey for The Price is Right." No? Okay. Well, go see The Price is Right or something, and then you'll see the hype people. Okay, so John the Baptist, after all of that hype, then today's reading, John the Baptist kind of asks one of the silliest of questions. Namely, he says, "Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another?" And it's an odd question to me. You know, after all of that hype that John has been building up for the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, for years and years and years, I mean, and the same thing that he was doing that landed him in jail, now, how did he not know who this Jesus person was? Right? That this was actually the Messiah. How in the world could he ask such a question? Now, one could assume that it was because John hadn't observed Jesus directly. After all, John was incarcerated. But perhaps John really didn't know if Jesus was the Messiah or not. Maybe, just maybe, John, like the many others that we'll come across in Matthew's gospel, really didn't know who Jesus was for sure. Now, it wouldn't be all that out of the ordinary for John to at least have a little bit of doubt in his mind. After all, we know in the Gospel of Matthew that the Pharisees and the disciples and many other Jewish people of the time imagined that the Messiah would be a military ruler, They assumed that the Messiah would dominate the powers of the world with power and might. They believed that the best way to respond to the violence of the Roman Empire and all of the empires before them was to confront it with more violence. But if we were to keep reading on in Matthew, just into the next verse past today's pericope, we'd find that Jesus begins to talk about how violence has plagued the kingdom of heaven, or another way to say kingdom of heaven is God's vision of the world. That violence had plagued God's vision for the world. Yet Jesus didn't respond with more violence. Instead, Jesus, in that very next verse, brings a vision of healing. You see, in this whole Gospel of Matthew thing that we're experiencing this year, Jesus is doing something really unexpected. And we'll find out that in Matthew's Gospel, expectations take generally good, godly people and blind them or block them from experiencing God's presence. For it is their clearly defined expectations for the Messiah that causes them uncertainty. It's their expectations of who or what the Messiah should be that wreak havoc. And I have to say, isn't that the case for our lives as well? I mean, unmanaged, uncommunicated, and unrealistic expectations across the board cause all of us a lot of pain and trouble and conflict. I mean, in the business world, managing expectations is key to your rapport with your client or your supervisor or your direct reports. Relationship counselors over and over again note that some of the most common causes of conflict in relationships are unmanaged and uncommunicated expectations. And when I hear over and over again about the hurt and the pain and the dissatisfaction and the frustration that people have with God, I can almost always trace it back to unrealistic, unbiblical, and unmanaged expectations of our God. You see, you and I, we live in a world where our expectations run rampant. And based on our experiences, our received theology, along with cultural norms and wishful thinking and just flat-out misconceptions, we set a lot of unrealistic and unhelpful expectations. It's those expectations that we all have that we have to always be happy, especially during the holiday season. Or the expectation that we need to be fit and tan and younger, like all of those airbrushed models we see. Or the expectation that we have to have a plan and a path before we do anything else. The expectation that we must be married, that we must have children, and that we should always be climbing up the ladder at work. And frankly, these expectations that we put on ourselves and each other simply drive us mad. And so then we get so overwhelmed and confused that we, like John the Baptist, we sometimes just need to take a step back and reevaluate all of these expectations to see if they're in alignment with God's vision. And so there is John the Baptist asking the question, are you the one who is to come? Or are we to be waiting for another? And Jesus told John's disciples to tell John about all they had seen. Jesus said to tell John about the miraculous healings, about the way that Jesus brought life to those who were weighed down, about how Jesus liberated the oppressed. For Jesus' vision for all the world was not exactly aligned with those commonplace expectations. After all, Jesus was not that military ruler that would come to defeat their enemies. Rather, Jesus came to confront a system built on violence and revenge and to instead replace it with a system of forgiveness. Jesus came to replace the honor that is found in ego and pride and paternalism and instead gave us honor which is bestowed in humble service. Jesus came to tell us that wealth isn't found in fancy cars or beautiful homes or the best investments or the greatest of vacations, but rather that true wealth could come from generosity in giving it all away in gratitude for God's abundance. So yeah, Jesus toppled the religious leaders' expectation. And so it is no wonder that in the midst of all that healing and teaching and preaching and alignment with the marginalized, that those religious leaders wanted to kill him. He was not fitting in to their expectations. And because their expectations were so firm, they couldn't notice God's presence right there in front of them. And friends, that is the very challenge that we all have. It is the challenge of our faith life, which is namely to not allow our unrealistic expectation of God and others stand in the way of experiencing God's presence. And so today I would invite you to find that piece of paper that's in your bulletin. And hopefully you've been listening to everything up to this point so you can apply it. You had to know when there was a random sheet of paper in your bulletin that something was going to happen. So here we are. So take out that white sheet of paper, grab a pen from the pew in front of you, and what I'd invite you to do is take a moment to write down as many expectations or assumptions you have about God. Write down who or what you think God must be. Does that make sense? So what kind of expectations or assumptions or preconceived notions of who God is, right or wrong, and write them down. Who is God? What is God? Jot it down. So who or what do we expect God to be? Or if you're like, well, I don't know, think about what others might think about God. What you hear that Christians believe in the media. This is a private assignment. We're not going to share. You're not going to show your neighbor and nothing like that. All right. Well, you guys are all still writing, or at least looking down. Maybe you're on your phones now. But you can keep writing. I'm going to talk a little bit more, and then we're going to do one more thing with those pieces of paper. So here we wanted to just put our expectations out there. The expectations that we've received from others, that's our received theology, maybe even your expectations of your learned theology, so what you've come to discover and learn about God through your life, through the scriptures, through others. And so today, with today's gospel reading, I think that we're presented with a way to challenge our assumptions. Because you see, when we challenge the assumptions that people like straight white males can be the only type of pastors, then we can begin to see the many faces that can bring God's good news to the outcast. When we challenge the inaccurate belief that God bestows wealth only on the faithful and proportionate to how faithful we are, then we can begin to notice that throughout all of the scriptures, God prefers to be among the poor. And when we begin to see that God does not rule with an iron fist, but rather as a suffering servant,
Then we could begin to hold up leaders that advocate for true peace, for nonviolent justice, and for welcome to every stranger. You see, when we begin to shed those false expectations that we've set for God and others, then we can truly see God among us. We can see God in the refugee and the asylum seeker. We can see God in those who mourn and those who worry. We can see God in the sick and the suffering. We can see God in the storm and in the cold. We can see God in the atheist and in the Muslim. We can see God in so many places when we realize that God will be present with or without our recognition in each and every place that we find ourselves. And so, my friends, in this season of Advent, as we creep closer to that Christmas day, we gather with hopeful hearts to familiarize ourselves with a God who disrupts our every expectation. And so my prayer for you is, as you look at the list in front of you of those expectations, is that you can take this next year, just one year out of your many years, and suspend all of your expectations, every single one of them about God, every single one of them, just like the people in Matthew are going to be confronted with this year and how we're going to experience them. And you're going to suspend those expectations. Just get rid of them. Get rid of those death-dealing expectations, and then come to this place. Come to the Scriptures with a blank slate, a completely new slate. Come anew to get to know our God. Just let God's presence transform you and transform us. And so to help you visualize this, and so hopefully you can remember that when you're sitting in the pews coming ahead, I want you to take your piece of paper, and the first thing I want to do is we're all going to crumble it up. You ready? Go ahead, let's crumble it up. Go ahead, crumble it up. Crumble up your expectations. I love that sound. That's a great sound. All right, and then as best as you can on the count of three, try not to hit the person in the head in front of you. We're going to throw them all the way up here. We're giving our expectations away. We're done with all of these things. We're just letting them go. You ready? One, two, three. And if somebody hit you with theirs, just throw it up here again. We'll just keep them, get them moving them forward. There we go. Perfect. So here we go. Here are your expectations. They're gone. They're gone. Start over. Start anew. Okay? And then when you come up here a little bit later, as you walk forward to communion, I want you to stomp on them. I want you to kick them. I want you to say, I'm done with all the preconceived notions of what Christianity is, of who Jesus is. I'm going to come anew. I'm going to come to this table to be fed with the body and blood of Christ, and I'm going to experience God anew this year. Just one year. That's it. One year. Next year, you can go back to it if you want. Just suspend your expectations for one year. Just one year. For I believe that when we shed our expectations of God and each other, once we realize that we are all God's beloved children and that the earth that we share is God's gift, then we, like John the Baptist, might finally come to see Christ among us. We might see the way that God takes brokenness and brings healing. We might experience the ways that God brings justice to the margins, and with that, we might just experience that dirty, homeless, baby Christ child right here in our midst. For our loving God is among us, within us, around us, in the places that we least expect to see God. So thanks be to God for this gift, for God's presence, for the ability to suspend our expectations, and the offer to step into God's never-ending love. Amen.